Alright folks, download button on Survivalist Podcast. And as always folks, you can catch all of our old shows, soundcloud.com/survivalistpod. And folks, sorry about maybe the audio might not be the greatest. Driving on my, using my mobile rig here today, not my home office today. So a lot of stuff going on in the news as there always is. But I know I took a little break for a while, been gone for a little bit, had some things going on. Like I said, I do have a wife, family, kids, all that stuff. So, which is what it's all about, right? You know, that's why we all do this, you know. So some stuff that came up in the news while I was gone, rather interesting, was they keep saying that they are going to try to impeach Biden. You know, any of you guys that listen to the show know how I feel about all this. You know, we all know that all of this whole thing with the with Trump and Biden and impeachment and all these other things that are going on, all this stuff is a ploy just to kind of shut people like you and me up, try to smear for the elections, all that kind of stuff. Even if Biden is impeached, which I doubt he will be, but even if he was impeached, it's going to be the same thing as the Clinton in the 90s thing, where it's just going to be a big smear campaign and just to make him look bad for the re-election. Same thing with Trump. All these things they keep indicting him on, I don't think any of them are really going to stick, if I'm being honest with you. I think it's all there just so that they can, you know, kind of, you know, smear him for the elections. I mean, that's all it is. Like I said, it's not going to affect him in any way. It's just going to be him just, it's just a big smear campaign. That's all it is. And that's okay. I mean, you know, but I'm just saying that's all this is. None of this is going to really stick. None of this is really going to be anything besides just Trump, you know, just them trying to smear Biden, them trying to smear Trump. And the reason why I care about them smearing Biden and smearing Trump is, and I'm being honest with you, is because all this is all just taxpayers' dollars being flushed down a drain. That's all it is. That's why it upsets me. It has nothing to do with which side of the aisle you're on, because I really honestly think all politicians are crap. I don't trust any politician. I don't trust the government. But all this is the taxpayers' money being wasted on smear campaigns. That's what this is. This is them. This is the way of them making their competitor look bad, okay, while not having to spend money, because it's our tax dollars that are wasted, not theirs. So that's all this is. And that's why it annoys me, is that, okay, wow, all these tax dollars that are being wasted are basically just just to make their components look bad, and it's campaign money that they don't have to spend. It's free money, as they probably all say. You know, it's all ridiculous, and you know, it just drives you nuts to see them wasting our tax dollars that could be going towards something useful on this political smear garbage. That's why I think the government is such crap, and why I think just everything it's all, when it comes to the government, especially the federal government, it's just all crap. It really is. Other things going on, there's still, I think it came out recently, Julian Assange, the guy that started WikiLeaks, still in prison, still fighting extradition. Now it's coming out recently that he has a wife, that I guess he married her secretly while he was still in the embassy. They had two kids together while he was in the embassy. All this is coming out now in secret. She's a lawyer. And she's trying to get him, you know, free, and trying to make a big deal about it. Tucker Carlson, she just had Tucker Carlson go with him to meet Julian. They did a big piece on Twitter about it, because Tucker's got his own show on YouTube, on Twitter now, and you know, it's a big thing there. But you know, again, you know what he did. I mean, you have freedom of you know, speech and all that. But what I don't understand about it is everything he published on WikiLeaks was published in The Guardian, The New York Times, all these big publications, and none of them are feeling any of the effects of this. And it's all political, if you really think about it. You know, Julian Assange did what, you know, these other agencies did too. I mean, like I said, New York Post, The Guardian. I'm not sure if it's Wall Street Journal or not, but I know it's The Guardian and the New York Post. I think, I know it was New York Times and The Guardian especially. They all published everything that he did. So it was, I mean, they all published just like he published. So I don't really understand why he's getting the brunt of it. When all these other news organizations got nothing. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. And do I think he should be let free? To a certain degree, yeah, because these other publications are the same thing. Why aren't they facing any legal action? Why aren't those journalists facing any actions? So it's just a really, you know, interesting situation that he is the only one being, yes, he was the owner and the founder, but what about his co-founder? He did a lot of that stuff with him. It wasn't just Julian. So I don't understand why, you know, and why didn't having this nonprofit organization that's supposed to protect him not protect you? The whole point of having a nonprofit is to, you know, protect yourself personally from any situations like that. And apparently, for some reason, his limited liability corporation or his 503 didn't protect him. I just don't understand. It's a lot of, you know, a lot of weird stuff with that that I don't think is right. And you know, it's politics, and I get it, but you know, just a lot of stuff not right with that. But while we're on break too, and this is actually fairly recent, apparently Alex Jones is allowed back on X, and he had a two-hour space. I think it's called, well, space. I know it's called Spaces, but he had a two-hour Spaces last night with Elon Musk, and Elon was on recently on Joe Rogan recently talking about how he brought Twitter back to the middle. He said a lot of people think Twitter is too far right now, and it's not too far right. It was just so far left that it's back in the middle now. That was what he said. I thought that was pretty interesting. Elon has always been an interesting one to interview. Like I said, Rogan's had him on multiple times before. I mean, they're saying that Twitter is very close to profitability, but they're still fighting bots. They're still fighting all that stuff on there. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they've lost a lot of people, but there's still a lot of people on there. So, I think that it's smaller than it was before. It definitely is. But it's still like 100 times bigger than True Social or Gab or any of those. Those are such small networks. Even something like Mastodon, which is open source and free, which I'm a big fan of because I'm a big fan of open source stuff. But even that, I mean, you're talking 2 or 3 million people versus, like, you know, hundreds of 100 million, 150 million on Twitter. I mean, even True Social even announced the other day that they, in their earnings report, that they had like a million or something people on it, which is a lot of people, don't get me wrong, but it's still small in comparison to the number that that Trump had on Twitter and what Twitter had. I think too, part of it, and is a lot of this with Twitter, I think too, is they had a lot of layoffs. Spotify had a lot of layoffs. A lot of these tech companies are having a lot of layoffs right now because they grew so much during COVID, and now things are back to normal to a certain degree. And they just don't need all these people anymore. And it's a shame. I really do feel bad, by the way, for anybody who loses their job, especially around the holidays. It really sucks. And I really feel bad for them. I know by ourselves, you know, podcasting, obviously, I do this more of a hobby, more of like a little extra kind of thing I do. It's not something where, you know, I got to make a living at it. But I know especially Spotify just canceled 2 premium podcasts that were big money makers for them, just because they're not making money anymore. I know especially, like I said, companies like Twit and big podcast networks are canceling. They've did layoffs of that. Even smaller podcast networks, just because podcasting is getting to be a tough market, tough medium to be in, but it's starting to get like social networking is. There's, you know, podcasting has gotten very divided over the years as far as smaller things here, smaller, you know, smaller podcasts there, getting chewed up by bigger companies, stuff like that. Social media is getting that way too now. You have Twitter, you have True Social, you have Gab, you have Rebel, you have, stuff like Telegram now, you have Mastodon, you have, there's just so many of them. The list just goes on and on and on. I bet you there's at least 20 or 30 good-sized social networks. And then a bunch of little ones underneath it. And it's all about creating community online. I mean, again, not a newer thing. Obviously, you had forums and things like that back in the day that were much smaller. But, you know, now especially, social media has gotten very, very, divided. And not just the country itself, but just in general, you have social media platforms and then subsets of social media. And then sometimes those medias will branch off. I mean, even something like as old as PalTalk has even gotten, they have 100, they brag, they have tens of millions of people on there, but they're all split up into these little rooms and all. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Even Facebook has so many groups and stuff like that for everything. Social media even isn't even this big thing as it was. It's a big social media company, but it's broken down into little subsets of groups of things you want to follow. So, like I said, social media has really changed online. Not always for the better, not always for the worse, but it definitely has changed quite a bit. I think Twitter and Facebook are the big ones, but you could see that things have started to really branch off. Like I said, you have things like, Mastodon and True Social and Rebel and all these other stuff that are, branched off themselves. So it's a really neat thing, kind of cool. I find tech stuff and open source stuff pretty neat. But like I said, it's interesting to see all these things getting branched off and people finding the communities they want to be a part of. The only thing I've always said is it's always tough when you find a community that you like, because the problem is you're only going to see and hear the things you like. It's very hard. You have to, I personally like to look at both sides of things and make my own opinion from that. And as much sometimes you don't like to hear the other side, if you're going to make an informed decision, you do have to hear both sides of everything. So that's kind of the only bad part. That's one of the things I really don't like about Facebook and about places like Twitter and stuff, because their job is to keep you on there to maximize time on the platform and maximize clicks. And I think I've talked about this in other podcasts, but the problem with that is in order to keep you on the platform, they have to show you things you want to see. If they show you things you don't want to see, you're not going to stay on the platform. So that's kind of my problem with social media as the thing that drives them is advertising. And they have to make a profit. They're not free, but that's why stuff like Mastodon and stuff like True Social and stuff I think is pretty cool, because you're not the product, so it's a little bit different. Especially Mastodon, True Social maybe a little bit less because they are trying to make a profit, but definitely on a smaller scale. They know what their niche is and stuff like that. But it's definitely an interesting topic. And one of the reasons why I bring up social media is they're saying now that the Biden administration possibly paid money to these platforms to show people what they wanted them to see, during COVID and all that. But just the other day, Russia did a whole propaganda thing by paying people on Cameo to spread false information. And by the way, this whole thing I think it's bigger now than ever before, and it's more out there than ever before now. But this whole propaganda thing and controlling people with propaganda, this isn't a new concept. I want to really point that out to everybody listening right now. This isn't a new concept, folks. There have been for decades, there has been, buying articles or buying ads and spreading false information and all that. There are things that go back as far as the Germans go and stuff like that during World War II and even possibly World War I and stuff, about spreading misinformation and stuff to get people to sign up for the war efforts and stuff like that. Our country has been doing that, and a lot of countries have done it, not just ours, but this has been going on for decades. This isn't something new. It's just come more to light again. The old saying, what's old is new. Just the other day I was watching some George Carlin bits on YouTube the other day when I was just sitting around watching some stuff on TV. And you know, you watch some of the stuff from, you know, his earlier work from the 80s and stuff, and the sad part is it holds up to today. That's how long the old saying, what's old is new. These issues aren't new issues. They're just, you know, people forget about them for a while. They kind of taper off, and then something happens and it brings it to light again. You know, that's just, unfortunately, the way the world works and the way politics is. But unfortunately, I think now especially, you know, I remember back in the day, you know, especially during talking about propaganda, you picked up the news. If you know, the integrity of the paper was at stake when you read something in print. You know, that was the way it was back then. And even on the news, you know, the integrity of the news organization, some of that was a very big thing. And they were held to standards by the FCC and stuff like that. With the internet, everybody has a voice now, and that's, it's a good thing, but it's also tough. And I will say this though, the high journalism standards of back in the day are not what they are nowadays either. Anytime you have 24 hours of news to fill, you're going to have to say something to fill that time. And I think that's another problem too, is a 24-hour news cycle and things of that nature, because, you know, you're going to have to make shit up if you're going to fill that time up. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the integrity of journalism isn't there anymore like it was either. I'm not saying that the, you know, the news, every paper has always slanted a certain way. I mean, even back to the day when you had a lot more newspapers than you do now, but, and I'm just bringing this up because I know a lot about that industry, but even back then, you don't have, you know, back then, you know, you read, say, the Gazette, and that, you know, leans a little more right than the Times, which leans a little more left. You know, it's just like websites, well, these newspapers slant, you know, either direction, you know, and that's always been an issue, and depending on, and that's, you know, always depend, that's always been kind of an issue in this country. But the propaganda has gotten even worse now with the internet, and I think that's really why it's coming up. And I think the other problem with that too is people nowadays know more that about propaganda and about the stuff that goes on behind the scenes than it ever did before. You know, back when, you know, our parents were younger, you know, it wasn't as easy to kind of peek behind the curtain. There wasn't as much news reporting. There wasn't as much inside information. You kind of had to take kind of things at its word. And I'm not saying that was a good thing either. You know, but I know, you know, especially back in the day, you know, if the president said it, you know, you watch, people watch the president. President said it and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's got to be true. And there were, you know, it was like that back in the day, you know. Especially our grandparents and stuff, you know. It was one of those things where, you know, you definitely took the news, the integrity of the news and what was going on and stuff like that. It was a lot bigger thing than it is now, you know. And nowadays, you know, we all question everything we get told, which is a good thing. We don't necessarily need to, you know. I mean, look at this podcast, for instance, you know. I mean, 30 years ago, I would have no way of distributing this to you guys that want to listen. I would have no way of getting my voice heard, not at the scale I can with the internet. And I think that's a great thing. I'm all for people being able to get their word out, you know, get out their information, say what they want to say, express themselves. We have a right in this country. But we never could because we didn't have social media and the internet where we all could have a voice. So I think it's good. I think it's got its goods and it's got its bads. And I hate this, but, you know, the government wants to start regulating things. Just like not too long ago, you know, he started with the whole AI thing now where they're going to, you know, they're regulating, you know, we have to have a, you know, passing legislation about the AI Act and all that kind of stuff. Like, huh? Like, you know, first of all, you think the president's just signing. He has no idea. He's just signing whatever somebody told him to sign, because I can tell you right now, Biden probably has no idea anything about AI. He just knows somebody told him to sign something, so he signed it. So like I said, you know, it's one of those kinds of things. And like I said, there's so much of that right now where the president just signs what he signs. And is he well informed? I don't know. I don't think he is. I don't think any of them are. I think they're just doing what's good for themselves so they get votes and so they make the party happy. But, you know, it like I said, that whole AI legislation, I was listening to this. I'm like, you're telling me that Biden knows everything he's signing right now? You're telling me he knows that you know, this is, you know, that, that, you know, what AI is and how it should be regulated, or his people told him that. Just like the other day, he came on the television and said, oh, you know, the people we've talked about, you know, prices are back to pre-pandemic for what, you know, the people I've spoken to. First of all, do you really think the president knows what the cost of gas is? You think he pulls up the presidential limo and puts gas in the gas tank? No. Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't know. I mean, look at the gas prices. They're nowhere near what they were, you know, pre-pandemic levels. They never will be, I don't think. And especially with the war going on in Ukraine and all that kind of stuff. I mean, be real. Or like, oh, the cost of food has come back down where it was pre-pandemic levels. Really? Because all the meats and all that kind of stuff is still very expensive. I don't know what numbers they're giving you, Mr. President, but you think the president knows? Do you think he really, you think he goes down to the kitchen and says, hey, what's that chicken cost? What does meat? No, he doesn't do that. Come on. And he just knows what he's told, and he puts people around him that tell him what he wants to hear. So this way, you know, they can keep their jobs. And that's the way the world is, folks. I mean, that's all presidents. That's not just Biden. That's all presidents. You know what I mean? Seriously. I mean, that's just the way it is. When he came on the news yesterday and said, oh, the prices are back to pre-pandemic levels, I'm like, really? You think it is? Because I don't think it is. So there's that. The other thing, too, I wanted to bring up, which I thought was another thing, was they're sending another $113 billion to Ukraine. And what's really upsetting me about that, I mean, Biden did announce that they're going to put money behind some other things here in the country, which makes me happy. But they were talking about pulling, in order to cut the budget, they were going to have to cut budget. So they were going to cut back on certain programs. And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, I'm not for the government, you know, giving everything away for free, and I'm not for the government. But some people out there do need help, especially with the rising economy, with the prices here, the inflation. And I don't care what anybody says, the country kind of does owe this to a certain degree to these people that are hurting, that need it, because the government's really the reason why all these prices went up. You want to be honest? The country did it to, you know, the politicians did it, not us, okay? I mean, really, China lied about all that stuff with COVID, and everybody's like, oh, we need to keep good relationship with China. Well, they kind of lied about it, kind of caused a national pandemic, and now we're supposed to just cater to them, you know? You know, the old saying, you know, maybe you forgive, but you don't forget. Well, the politics very much forgets a lot of things. But, you know, some of the help that they're giving these people, they do kind of need it because of the price of things. And I'm not one usually say, well, the government needs to help everybody. But they did cause this problem. You know, if my line of work, you make a mistake, you got to fix it. Government made a mistake, now they got to fix it. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way things go around here, you know. But I wanted to bring that up as well, because a lot of people have been saying about, you know, how we're helping in Ukraine and stuff like that. Well, again, that's not a problem we created. But again, you know, the government's, you know, that typical Democrat move, just throw money at a problem. But, I mean, these tariffs that we have on Russia, are they really hurting anybody? I don't see Putin suffering at all. I mean, really. I mean, I think that's the dumbest thing. All this stuff, I mean, I get we don't want to get into another war, but it's costing us more, I think, to fund it. You know, then we got this other thing now. You know, we're funding two wars, but hey, let's cut back on some things here in America for the American people. Typical Democrat thing. But, and of course, the Democrats are going to do their best to make the Republicans look bad by saying, oh, they don't want to spend the money overseas. I mean, of course, you know, that's what they're going to do. You know, and then you got, it's just the way it is. It's all crap in the government, just so you all know that. like I said, guys, a little bit shorter podcast, but I have not been on as much. I'm going to try to get back on and Dirk's doing some more stuff, because I really do enjoy it, but it's been a little crazy, a little hectic in my life. So I want to thank you all for listening. Like I said, you can catch all the old shows, soundcloud.com/survivalistpodcast, and of course, at our website, survivalistpodcast.org. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode. Thank you very much.